think Scott, our drummer, is should be joining shortly as
Oh,
well.
sweet. Oh, well, hang on then. Sorry, man. I was.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Oh, talk of the devil.
Yeah.
I did. Jasmine from Malaysia was just like, yeah, they're free to join. So we'll start over again anyway.
For sure. He's definitely going to say yes to your previous question.
Oh, we won't tell him what the question is. We'll let him be a
He's gonna be like,
surprise.
well, it's the first album that I ever played on, so yes,
Yeah,
it is their best record.
yeah.
What's the best record? Yeah, you're right. It's this one.
We're
Is my video working yet?
talking about Saint Anger being the best snare sound on any album.
Honestly, I have zero issues with it.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of
you kind of hit a soft spot for us. We're Saint Anger apologists.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's the thing. Oh, here we go. What's up?
Whoa, that's so colorful. Lovely. I
Yeah.
love it.
It's my bedroom. It's super nice in here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, nice to meet you. I'm Joey, Scott.
Hey, I'm Scott. What's up, man?
I was just saying thanks. It's a real pleasure to have you both on here. So thanks for your time.
Yeah, totally. It's cool to be here.
Sweet. I asked Dustin a question a minute ago, so I'll ask the same thing. Dustin was on the fence, but Scott, is this the best album Glasson have ever done, including with and without you on the albums?
I'm gonna have to say yeah, but I have a weird relationship with this band as a fan first.
Okay.
Their first record, Light and Death, I was like, when are you guys gonna put out a record? I've seen all these songs live. And then they finally put out Light and Death, and I was like, oh, this record's amazing. So I have like a weird, like connection to that record. But and then with like Twin Dream, which is like everyone's favorite record,
Yeah.
I was just ha I was I had to play the record release show and I wasn't on the record, so I just saw it as work. I didn't see it as like a thing to enjoy, and so I was just like, God, I gotta learn like so much difficult shit. So I have like the worst perspective on the band, so I'm gonna have to say the new one's the best one, but I have a thing for the first one.
That's pretty much what Dustin said as well. Not putting words in his mouth, but
Yeah.
do you agree with that, Dustin? Do you think, obviously you've been there longer, so what's your thoughts?
I think each record was written in a different mind state. So it's kind of they're kind of all unique things. Like for instance, well, our first record was like the first try, it was like let's figure out what we sound like kind of a situation. We were working with a lot of different themes around then. We were really into Boris around then, so the record kind of has like a Boris feel, I guess. And then with Spotted Horse, we decided to take like a writing approach where we kind of like locked ourselves in at a ranch for a little while outside of the outskirts of town. It was called Spotted Horse, or at least that was the road that the ranch was on. It was a lathe engineer that we knew. And he let us use the ranch to write and record and stuff, as long as we took care of his farm animals. So we were doing that. And that was really fun. Turns out goats are really cool. So that was like a whole different mindset because we were kind of like isolated in this little place, away from everybody, and we were able to write a lot of really cool songs. I think that was probably the first record we ever did anything kind of like slow or like somber. And then when Twin Dream happened, that was shortly after the pandemic, so everything was still kind of on shutdown, so we were just writing and figuring out ways to like record and stuff. And so that one was kind of similar in the sense that we were still kind of confined to a space, but the whole world was too. So it was different than Spotted Horse in that. So it wasn't like a voluntary, we weren't voluntarily confined. And then with this record, we took a completely different approach because Scott lives in California and we live in Texas. So the way we had to write this record was we would have to fly Scott out for like a week at a time. We would write, then we would like a bunch of psychopaths just book studio time, just hoping that whatever we wrote in that week period would be cool enough to do it. So in that way, this record had a very unique angle where for like a week at a time, all we did was eat, sleep, and breathe the record in writing and like organization and stuff like that. So we would, and then the moment we recorded, he'd fly back and then we would do it again like a few months later or whatever. We did that maybe like 3 or 4 times, something like that.
Sounds exhausting for Scott.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. But
It
we did
was
it.
exhausting for everybody because, like you write a song and there's like six versions of it, and before you get to what we were still doing that, we were just doing it in 4 days with like two different songs at the same time. So it was like we'd have like there's still multiple demos of all the tracks, but like it was just condensed to like 4 or 5 days. It was like super brutal.
If you like shut down your ability to overanalyze something, or if you put like a time constraint on what you're doing, it definitely changes. It puts like a sense of urgency behind what you're doing, and that kind of like improves your focus, your overall focus around it. I think that's the lesson we learned with this record in particular, is that like you can like tinker with a song forever, and sometimes you'll make it better, sometimes you'll ruin it. So we just didn't allow ourselves to like do that. But yeah.
That's an interesting point you raised there about analysis and like time frames, because a lot I'm going to take a really extreme example now, okay? And this is so Guns N' Roses on Chinese Democracy, right?
Yep.
12, however long
Perfect
it
example. Or
took.
Dr. Dre's what re re not retox. Retox.
Okay, so like them spending time that much time trying to
Time
perfect it,
kills it.
and I think it was something I read something like they spent like something like years trying to get the right snare sound or something stupid like that. But that is an extreme example, sorry. But what I'm trying to get to is a lot of bands do analyze stuff, and obviously when you're in the studio, when people have the luxury of that extended period of time. But did you feel like because you had this finite period of time with Scott being over that you could have maybe perhaps spent more time with it? Or do you know what I'm trying to get at? Do you think you sort of we're happy with it?
We could have, but I don't know. Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like out of the all of the outcomes that happened, I'm happy with the one that we chose because like that whole Chinese Democracy thing or Dr. Dre's Detox album, they let time kill their records, and it's we've done that before with songs where we'll spend like months on a song, and that's fine. Like we'll still come out with an okay song. I think songs like Absolute Virtue, I think took 4 months off of our off of Twin Dream as one of our singles. That took 4 months to write. It's a short little song though. It's like 3.5 minutes. It was one of our favorite songs on the record, but I do remember that taking a long time because we just couldn't get the vibe right for the longest time, and then but eventually we got it and we were like, okay, this is it.
So, in that sense, do you think you maybe over put too much thinking into that song, or?
I think if a song like Absolute Virtue was like deployed during Hell Week, or that's what we called it. It's like a stupid boot camp name, I guess, but it, yeah, the week that like Scott is down so that we have to write.
Hell
I
week.
think if we came up with a song like Absolute Virtue, it probably would have gotten shelved.
Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. And I'll be so you've probably never heard of our podcast before. It's just me and my mate who do it. We literally get some promos. We don't get paid for this. We literally do it because we love music and talking about it. And like if we can, give a underground band, I hate the term, but an underground band, a bit of coverage and they get a couple of extra listeners, happy days. I never heard of Glassing before, so my co-host Venny, he put this album forward to me, and I have to admit, like, because I've not heard anything before, this is my entry point. But this is such a good record that I will eventually go back to your previous albums, but I'm just living with this at the moment. I'm enjoying it so much that I don't want it to sort of end. I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's just
No, I feel you. I
from
do that. I do that with like music I like too. I listen to it until I hate it.
like Saint Anger, basically, is it?
Yeah,
Perfect
I mean,
record.
Saint Anger, like it's a hot take. We realize that. We realize it, but it's like
Wasn't it on tour? We were listening to it and trying to edit it. Was that?
yeah, we were talking about what could have like what they could have like took out of the songs to make
Yeah.
them
Okay.
cooler.
Yeah, it's a good record, but there's just parts where you're like, oh, you didn't need that there.
Yeah.
But it's cool that you did. The song's still tight. Yeah,
Yeah,
we
I
were
mean,
like
they could have like just taken out like track 1 to 11 and been done with it. And then just, I'm joking. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not a huge Metallica fan anyway,
Dustin,
but
what's he saying right now? I don't understand
I
that.
don't know, dude.
At
I don't
any time you
understand.
want to
I'm
end an
triggered.
interview, you just do it, all right? But no, I mean, and we'll come on to the label you're on in a minute and some of the one festival that you're playing at that we'll be at. But I love the way the album flows as well. And there was a couple of surprises in there for me. Like the Kestrel Goes was a real like
Oh, cool.
sort of because the way the album was, and then this sort of track just dropped in and it was real like, and it was like the penultimate track as well. I was like, this is really like usually that would be the start or in the middle as a sort of breaker track, but it's just seamlessly works. And the three track Ritualist, As My Heart Rots, and Circle Down is such a good hat trick of tracks. Like it's unbelievable. Like,
Thanks. Well, they're fun.
sorry, this is the reason I was saying we don't get paid for this, because if we don't like albums, we wouldn't come and chat to you guys. We wouldn't sit
Cool.
here and like have an
That's high
interview.
praise for real. Like that, we appreciate that type of honestly, like music reviews and album reviews and stuff like that. We've gotten reviews from like bigger sites that are literally just like they take like our press kit and just like plaster it on the review. And it's clear that no one's actually listened to the record. No one's like done anything. They're just like, oh, this is like, we should be covering this, et cetera. And then it, but yeah, we really appreciate outlets like what you guys do, and it's really cool. It's like a honor for us to be interviewing with you.
Like I said, it's great. I mean, I was saying to Scott before you came on, I was saying to Dustin, like I it's an album that I've listened to so much that I'm going to try and put away for a bit because I don't want to overdo it. And I think what my plan is really, and we'll talk about this now, is you guys are playing ArcTangent Festival in August. Yeah, August, which we're going to. We've been every year for like the last 3 years. It's a great festival. So I'm just going to shelve the album now, I think, and just wait until I can hear these songs live. Have you guys
Sure.
been to ArcTangent or heard about it or anything like that before?
We knew about it, their
Yeah,
first.
I've known about it forever. Yeah.
It's
It's like one of
gone.
the big ones.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's like it's like a big one for like alternative bands. Like, it's not like Download Festival or Wacken, like not a huge site, but what you will have is you'll have like a band, whatever size, they could be playing at 11 in the morning on a Saturday. People will be hung over to shit. Yeah, the tent will be packed because people are there for the music. So, like, I'm sure you guys are excited, but you should be
Oh,
so
yeah.
excited playing this festival because it's so good. You're gonna
Cool.
have a great. What day are you playing on, actually? Do you know? Is it Saturday? I
I
think.
think it's the Friday.
Oh, okay.
Or no, shoot. The Thursday. Wait, no, yeah, Thursday.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. So it runs from Wednesday to Saturday.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
we're playing that Thursday at like 4 o'clock.
Oh,
Yeah, I
cool.
think
That's
we're
cool.
opening up for our buddies in Frail Body.
Yeah, we're playing the Frail Body. I'm so psyched. Yeah.
Sweet.
Those guys are
Yeah.
great. Best like three piece ever made.
Yeah, they're a
Nice,
perfect
nice.
band. And that's the same day like Meshuggah is playing and like
Yeah. Yeah. it's
I don't know,
it's
animals as
insane.
leaders. You're like, what the hell? It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's great. Are you guys there for the whole festival, or are you just sort of like flying in and out?
Just for the day, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like the start of like a little tour that we're gonna do.
Oh, cool. Is
Yeah,
that
yeah.
a secret tour?
It's just we're in the middle of working on it right now. But it we'll probably announce it sometime soon. But it's like we've announced like some festivals that kind of like start and end it. And there's like we're doing like Pelagic Fest in the Netherlands, and that's
Oh,
like the
yeah.
end of the yeah, it's like the end of the tour. So we're just filling out the middle.
That place looks so sick. We actually spoke to one of your label mates on Monday. Thought
Oh yeah.
Gregory. I don't.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
from Thought. We're speaking to him, and he's playing that, and they're also playing Arctangent. So we've had a nice little back-to-back Pelagic interview. So
Cool.
it's nice. The album cover's not probably that clear on my 1990-year-old TV, but just talk to me about that, because obviously art is subjective, and you know, it's like if you do an ink blot test, people say, "What do you see?" And it's like, "Oh, I see a cat," or "I see a man masturbating," or whatever. Again, I don't know where that came from, but you know what I mean. Like, it's so clean and bright. Like, what's the thought behind this? Is that the mirror you were talking about in the album title, or what's it about?
So that was done by Chris Royal King from This Will Destroy You.
Oh, no
He's
way.
done all of our album art from like the very beginning. Even our very first EP he did. And he's in this one he's kind of experimenting with the Unreal Engine. He has a lot of like technical things that he's using to build out that world. I don't know if you ever I don't know if you have a copy of the album, but
I do, yeah.
when oh cool. So like when you open it up it kind of like expands into this like kind of like dark void world
Oh,
thing.
sorry, you mean a physical copy? Sorry, I don't have a physical copy yet. Sorry, I've
Oh,
got
it's all right.
downstairs.
Yeah, so like the whole thing was kind of like I remember I think he posted a picture of what was to going to be the album cover. It was like he was just messing around with stuff. He posted that a similar image to that on his Instagram, and I at the time I was like trying we were trying to figure out what the title of the record was going to be. And I kept kind of based on all the lyrics and stuff and like the overall conception of the record, I kind of wanted it to be I the phrase from the other side of the mirror kept popping into my head. So I saw that and I was like, this is kind of cool. This is like if you were to visualize that sentence, like from the other side of the mirror, like what is behind the mirror? So we reached out to Chris and we were like, hey, could you elaborate on this design a little bit? Because we really like it and we kind of want to use it. And he was like, absolutely. And then we gave him a few things. We were like, we really love the like glassy, like reflective sheen about it. We like the black void part. We're very into the movie The Cell, that like as at least the like the cinematography and like the art sets, and that movie is just far too underrated. J-Lo crushes it too. But he built out an entire world in like the Unreal Engine using like some sort of like JavaScript thing with an
Wow.
AI thing too. He sent us a whole big thing about what everything he used. I just don't have it on hand. Yeah, he basically built out this like very cold, bleak, but like beautiful and serene world, and we were just like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we're trying to encapsulate lyrically and conceptually on this.
And the other thing that, Scott, you might jump in on this one is, I think that because the album artwork is so clean and like crystal, I think when you think about the album production as well and the sound of it, considering the, we don't like to pigeonhole bands, but considering the music you're playing. I think the production on this is really nice and works really well. And I think even when you talk about, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it Sallow's the other sort of interlude song? Is that
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Like when you hear that, I think the whole album, and when you're looking at the package, is really clean. Like, was that intentional with the production or?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, it's funny with the production of this record. So it's like my first record with the band. I
Yeah.
mean, they had like, they've been working with Andrew Hernandez for the past few records, and I was, I'm like new, so I was like, they have like with Spotted Horse and Twin Dream, there's like a, I call it like a sonic aesthetic that I wasn't trying to change it as my first record. I wasn't trying to be like, no, I want to be like a fucking black metal band, or I want to have like a certain production that I might prefer for other things. But so like the drums like are, I don't know, they're kind of like reverby and kind of dreamy with, I mean, there's blast beats, but like the production on it is like a little bit dreamier, and in my eyes. So I didn't want to change any of their stuff. And then the way that Andrew and like Corey and Dustin kind of all work, they don't have to think about it. They just like do stuff. It's so crazy to watch. And then when we got this artwork, we were like, oh, there almost was like a direct, it's kind of seemed like there was like a direction for what we wanted to do. Because we're like, oh, we have to live up to this artwork. And yeah, that's kind of how it kind of worked out. Just, we were kind of already making stuff that looked like this, that or that fit in it. I was like, and we just kind of leaned into it once we got some artwork. So yeah.
And Scott, your drum kit, quickly, let me just what are you playing with? Are you floor tom, two rack tom, snare, bigger, smaller?
It's just a pretty standard kick, snare, rack tom, floor tom, just
Okay.
regular. Yeah, just regular, and then a ride cymbal, two crashes, and a hat.
Okay, wow. Okay.
Yeah, just my first drum set, and
Yeah.
Babby's
Bishop Wright's
first.
drum set.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just hit them. I just hit all the drums a lot, That's kind
Just
of
didn't even
what
think about it, just try and hit as many as you can.
try to hit every drum and every part of every song.
And Scott, imagine for a second that Dustin isn't here, right? It's just you and I talking. Would you say going into your first album, you were quite concerned or anxious about maybe making suggestions towards, changes on the album potentially? Or did you feel very comfortable going in because you knew the guys anyway, but being your first album?
Yeah, I put a lot of pressure on myself that I probably didn't mention to anybody, because, I was close with the previous drummer as well, and so I would try to do things that maybe we're so we're Camacho and I were we were so in love with each other and like our styles, and I had such an appreciation for it. That's why Glassing was one of my favorite bands. He was a drummer that I was like, man, that is, you can do some shit that I just can't do, or like, and I was like, so there, a lot of stuff that I was have been writing with the band. So it started with the we did a 7-inch, called Dire and Sulk. That was my first stuff with the band, and that was our first time writing together. But I had like Camacho in mind. I was like, what would he do here, or what's something that he would do here, but through my lens. So that was us trying that, like us writing. So when it came to the record, I just continued that idea. I was just like, what would Camacho do here? I don't want it to be too far off from their previous stuff, because it's like I don't want to just barge in. So like with something that is 100% me, I would do something that was like, oh, Camacho do something like this here, or whatever, but it's still me playing, it's still my stuff. But
It sounds
because
very
I,
similar, Scott, to the like Mike Mangini coming in for Mike Portnoy in Dream Theater, that
totally.
when they came in, I think either he or the band said, like, I'm not here to replace him. I'm just trying to put a little spin on,
Totally. That drummer documentary that I've seen 1,000 times probably influenced me. Because it was like, oh yeah, you don't want to, when you're coming in so late into a band's, this is Glassing's fourth re record, I'm not trying to fucking change the band. And you know, so I was like, okay. And it's like they have like an established like fan base, there's labels, there's people, you know. And I was like, I'm not gonna try to ruin their shit by just totally going a different direction. I play in different bands that are like, I guess more like hardcore bands with like that have totally different kind of production and different kind of sounds and shorter songs. And so I kind of come from that world, and we're all homies. And so I didn't want to change any of their stuff. I wanted to do Glassing stuff. And yeah, I thought that was super important. And I put a lot of pressure on myself. So like those like writing hell weeks, we'd be like, okay, we're gonna maybe bang out two songs this week out of nowhere. Like I like we were at all at like a 10 of our capabilities, where I had like so many things to consider with all my drum beats, in order to not change the band. And then plus writing new songs like in a week is hard. So yeah, it was weird. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to do it. And I read like a couple of reviews that said that's it worked basically. And
Okay.
I was like, great. Awesome. Even from the first show I played with the band, I was effectively a fill-in for the Twin Dream record release show. And I was like, oh God. You know, it's like that's a big request. Like, hey, can you fill in on our biggest show? And I
And
was like,
learn
no.
all these
Oh
songs and
yeah, learn these songs and like play this big show. And I was like,
hey, your first
oh
show with us was sold out. It was like
yeah.
a really.
Yeah, the Twin Dream record release show was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Was like, yeah, let me just do that.
Obviously, it's paid off, and I think as you're sat here now talking to me and with the album credits, I think the audition went quite well.
Thank
Dustin,
you.
sort of same question to you, like when with Scott coming in, obviously he played with you, but from your end, were you open to suggestions from Scott, or do you know what I'm saying? Like, were you sort of like preconceived going in and saying like, we've done this for 4 or 5 years now, done three albums,
We're not changing the formula.
like fuck you, man, look at the tables, like.
No, I mean, I got like a immediately I got the feedback that Scott knew exactly what to do. And I think well, one of the cool things about working with Scott is that like if you just like ask him to do an idea, he'll just do it, which is really cool. I think for instance, like to give an example, like there's a beat on a song on one of the songs called Nothing Touches You. And the
Oh
beat,
yeah.
it's kind of like a tom heavy situation. And like I remember I had asked Scott to do something like that, and Scott just first take just pulled it out. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, so in instances like that, I felt like Scott knew enough about the direction of like how we were writing that I didn't really have to. Me and Corey didn't really have to like guide him too much. And in on the kind of like opposite side of things, Scott's intensity and speed and like veracity, basically we were trying to like kind of acclimate to that, 'cause like S Scott plays really fast and really hard. So like we were like, okay, well, I guess we're stepping it up a notch, which is why this record arguably is a little harder and faster than everything we've ever done. I remember there was like one time that I was like, hey, let's avoid this type of beat, but it was like you were like playing like a punk beat or something.
Oh, totally.
And
Yeah,
I
we
was just
totally
like,
avoid that
yeah,
stuff.
like we've never done a
Stop that
beat like
punk
that.
shit.
Yeah, I was like the punk stuff. Yeah, that was the only time I remember like actually like. But then you were like, oh yeah, sure. And then you just like flipped switched it up, and it was like no big deal. We don't really we didn't really have to like. Plus, Corey and I don't know anything about drums, so like we're just
Yeah.
gonna
Very
where are we gonna
helpful.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a big part of it, again too, like just coming into the band on the fourth record is like any ego just had to go away. So I was like, I would do maybe what my first idea of a drum beat would be, and then it'd be like, yo, what if you do this? And I would, instead of being pissed, which is easy to do, I would just be like, remember, you're the new guy here. Like, don't be rude. I would love to be rude. I love being a dick, but I would be like, I'd be like, let's remove the ego. We're trying to make the song as good as we can.
I mean, you probably had a bit of a honeymoon period where it was like, or a grace period, like, you've come in to do the to a temple shows and it's like we'll ease him in a bit, and if there's a couple of mistakes it's fine, but now you're like in the band, and if you fuck up, it's on your head.
Yeah, it's kind of something
Not to
more
put any pressure,
substantial.
not to put any pressure on you, like, but
I put plenty of pressure on myself. Yeah.
and from someone who's never seen Glass In but is going to have the privilege in August, what's a Glass In live show like? Is it pretty hectic? Is it stage diving? Because obviously in America and UK or Europe, shows are a bit different in terms of the crowd. So what is it going to be, full on chaos or?
What my
That's
part
a funny
my,
question.
but yeah, that's a funny one. I don't know. We've played some shows where there's like a circle pit and crowd surfing. We've played shows where people are just standing there observing. My partner described it as like a seance kind of vibe,
Okay.
where you're, and I was like, okay, sure, I don't know, I'm just on stage doing my thing. But I've they're like, yeah, there's like a you guys have like a thing or something.
It's, I think it's a
Say it.
lot of like, so we try to, one thing that I will say that we kind of try to do every single time we have a show is like we want the set to be like dynamic in a way where you're not just seeing like fast, heavy song after fast song, because at some point, like when I watch bands like that, I get really bored. I just like, it's kind of, it feels kind of counterintuitive, but I'm kind of waiting for the reprise, like I'm waiting for the part where they stop doing what they're doing, maybe the first three songs in, and then change it up, figure out a new thing to offer artistically. So more to that like idea of like a set feeling like a seance. We have songs in our roster that are supposed to give that feeling, like songs like Twin Dream or Ritualist are intended to be kind of like slower, more like trance inducing, because we want to kind of, at that point in the set, we kind of want to reset the audience's like noise level and like recalibrate the everything that's happening so that we can kind of keep going. Like I think the worst thing in the world is like when you see a band and they're just like playing ha fast and heavy the entire set. It's just like such a snooze to me.
I mean,
Not
unless you
saying
have
that
to see Cannibal Corpse.
some bands can do it cool. Some, like, if you're there to do that and like you do it well, like I get it. Like that's a cool way to be. But like personally, I want like a band set to kind of feel like a movie or like a play, where there's like interludes and then there's like maybe like an intermission type song. So in that note, it's, it's, we have a lot of slow songs to do that. So like kind of more like solemn songs, like we write those songs purposefully so that we can do things like that.
Like,
You know, it's
I'm
fun.
sorry, go on, Scott.
You know, it's funny. The other day we had our record release show and we played a version of The Kestrel Goes. And
Okay.
that was something we hadn't gone that far, I think, in the, kind of like total vibe shift. And we, I don't know where that sits in the set. I don't know if we're going to do that ever again. And that might have just been for the show because we played the whole record top to bottom that day. But,
Oh, wow.
yeah, it was crazy. But we did it and I was like, whoa, there was a shift in the room. And then we go into Wake and it was like, oh, this is cool. But it's, yeah, we'd never done it to that degree. And it was cool.
I did wonder if the Kestrel Grove is like, because I said it's quite a longer track in not an interlude, but do you know what I mean? I did wonder if it was going to come and show itself in the set list. Can we one track which is my favorite track on the album as part of that three track run is Circle Down. And I'm a person who, call me a snob or whatever, I don't listen to singles because I like to have the whole album. I feel it runs, it's the way it's meant to be. But Circle Down, there's this breakdown towards the end, and what I'm just intrigued. It sounds as if vocally the microphone is further away, or it's been lowered in the mix, the vocals. And Scott, you've got this really sort of, I don't know, gnarly sort of slowish, simple but drum beat. Is that right? Like with the vocals, are they recorded differently?
I think you're talking about like the end where it's like kind of clean vocals. It's not like screaming. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh no, it's like the breakdown about two thirds through. It's like,
Man, maybe.
Yeah, it
Maybe.
doesn't really have a context like me saying it, but maybe we can discuss that at Arctangent when I show you the part I mean.
Andrew has a way of like really just doing really creative things with my vocals. Sometimes I won't like even know it until later when I'm listening. I'm like, oh, he like did something here. And I think that might be like a place where that might have happened.
Okay.
He's just Andrew's like he's a godsend, man. Like he is like the only reason we sound good, like in my opinion. Like he does so much like studio magic for us. He's got really great ideas. He like did some backup vocals and like synth parts on some of these songs. He's just one like he's just one of the band members at this point.
Fifth member. What's the my favorite part is to ask now, favorite song off the album right now, as you sit here now, what's your favorite song?
The one that's stuck in my head usually is Wake. The down down. It, you can't. That one's always stuck in my head. But then
That's
right,
the final track, yeah.
yeah, the final track that. But then right after that, Defacer. I don't know. Those two, I'm like, ugh,
Ugh.
such gnarly songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think mine would probably have to be Nothing Touches You.
Damn. Dude,
I
I
can
know the
I
roller I know the roller coaster of emotions on that one.
it's
Scott,
a, I
can I
like
like
take
that
that as a
one.
sorry, go on, Dustin.
Oh, I like that one 'cause like I don't know, generally with like music, I kind of end up hating I start hating it first. Like all my favorite bands I like hated when I first heard them. I was like, I hate this. And then like I keep for some reason give it another chance and then I'm like, oh, I love this to the point of like I'm obsessed with it. And when we first wrote Nothing Touches You, I was like, this is such a dog shit song. Like there's nothing good about it. There's like it just like it's too long, et cetera, et cetera. But then after we put vocals to it and like we got the mixes back from Andrew, I would listen to it and I would be like, I actually don't mind this song. It's kind of cool. And then eventually I was like, this has come to be like my favorite song on the record. Just because I really love Scott's drumming on that song. I really love Corey's guitar sections. And that song was a represented kind of a challenge because it was a really long song. So just doing like one vocal style the entire time wasn't going to cut it. I felt like the song was dynamic, so the vocals had to be really dynamic. So I took an approach where I kind of changed up what I was doing, and then when I did that as like a like kind of like a I was just like I feel like I have to do the song. I would be doing the song a disservice if I didn't. And then after everything was said and done, I listened back to it. I was like, this is my favorite song because it's like so fun to listen to. Like there's just like so much it travels.
Do you still listen to the album now?
Oh, I haven't been listening to the record for like
I know you've
forever.
obviously you've probably been through mixes and
Yeah,
mastering and that jazz,
it's rough.
but like, and you've lived through it all. But do you ever go back and listen to it and think like, oh, maybe we could have done this differently there, or are you just happy that with the final product?
You know, for me, after we played it top to bottom, I am so done with it. I thought I had not in a mean, not in a bad way, but I was like, I'd listen to it before and maybe have notes, but then after playing it top to bottom and we did the thing, and I'm just kind of like, that's, I'm just kind of, I'm that's what it is. You know, like before I would have thought more, but now I'm like, these are the drum parts. You got to just do them.
It's kind of like asking, like, hey, now that you've graduated college, do you feel like going back and rewatching some of your lectures? And you're just like, no. But yeah, it's just like it's hard to listen. And that kind of goes with like every type of every album that we've ever done. Like, if you listen to it again, you're just gonna like critique things that you wish you could have done differently or better. It only really happens when you've had a significant amount of time away from the record that it becomes fun to listen to again. I've listened to albums that I wrote like 15 years ago, and like I'll listen to it now and I'll be like, wow, this is kind of cool. Because I can't really predict what the song's going to do because I just don't remember it. But yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day
You're
I'll.
talking about We the Granada.
No, we're not going down the road, Scott.
This sounds like a great story to catch up on when we meet in just finally as well, you're obviously signed to Pelagic Records now, and like that label is, you know, there's lots of big labels out there. You know, if you look at, you could have one label that just puts out death metal bands the whole time. No disrespect to that genre at all, but I think Pelagic is so dynamic and expansive. Like, you know, you could, you know, we get sent promos from Jasmine. Oh, by the way, Jasmine, thank you for setting this up. By the way, you're a star. But like, we get promos sent through, and like, you just know if one comes from them, you have no idea what to expect. So for you to
Yeah.
be sitting on this label, guys, like, does it feel like a right fit for you?
Yeah. It's I honestly couldn't think of a better label to be on. You know, we were on Brutal Panda for a long time and we love Bob. At the time Mike was part of the label too. He just recently passed away a little while ago, but we love him too. And everything that we did with those guys was really great. I think fundamentally, though, for a very long time, they were kind of like a metal-facing label. They do expand their band roster a little bit here and there, but Pelagic, it was just like. It just seemed like the most intuitively correct thing to do.
Scott, same for you, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, their roster is kind of all over the place in the right way. And we kind of totally fit that. I think, yeah,
Yeah.
I couldn't think of another label that would be better for us.
And the beauty as well is like Robin, who like from the ocean, is like, he's a proper music fan. Like, you know, it's like Brian Slagle, the equivalent of Metal Blade. Like, you know, he's there for the music, and he picks bands who are like, he just knows what is good for them. And he's also like, so we spoke to him, I think last year when they released their last album, and we met him at Arctangent as well. And he's just such down to earth guy, but he was watching all of the Pelagic acts at each stage. You know, if there was one of his bands there, he wasn't side stage, he was at the back of the stage and in the crowd, you know, chatting to everyone. And I mean, you just can't go wrong sitting with that label and what the
Yeah.
support they give you. So hopefully it continues for many more years. Gents, I just want to say it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you, and we could chat here for hours, but I'm going to save that for when we meet Arctangent. Maybe we'll sit down and we could do another little small interview before or after you've been on stage, have a beer
Sure.
together and just shoot the breeze, but congratulations on the album. It is, as I said, we didn't get paid for this. If we didn't like it, we wouldn't be sitting here. It's absolutely top notch, and it will be in my top 20 albums of the year this year for sure. So guys, congrats, and listen again, thanks so much for your time, and best of luck for the UK tour and whatever tours you've got going on, guys.
Thanks, Joey. We really appreciate it. Thanks
Yeah,
for
thanks,
talking.
man.
I'll see you in 3 months.
Whoa, yeah.
Crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.